Hello and welcome to Webhack Wednesdays. I'm Martin Beebe.
And I'm Martin Cairn.
And today we're looking at ASP.NET Core.
Yeah.
And we're looking at building a website in it.
Yeah.
You've recently built a site in it, and we're going to be looking at that one.
I'm very happy about my site.
What? Why?
Because it's called How Happy.
All right.
And now I'm very happy because I use the site to figure out how happy I am. And it tells you that I'm very happy about it.
Okay, so you're using, in this particular website, some of the Microsoft Cognitive Services.
I am, indeed, yes.
Previously known as Project Oxford.
Yep.
And these cognitive services, I like that word, it sounds really impressive.
It's quite hard to say though. Like, if you said it three times, you
cognitive services, cognitive services, cognitive services, yeah.
See?
So, cognitive services, and you're using the Emotion API.
I am, yes.
Send a picture to the Emotion API, look at that picture, determine how the emotions of the people in that picture, and then pass that stuff.
I am,
And then present it to the user.
In a fun and interesting way.
Right, okay. So, how are we going to start this then?
Well, let's start by, let's just look at the website itself first. It's live. You can go to it now. It's called howhappy.co.uk.
Okay.
It's a nice cheerful yellow there, just to sort of burn everyone's eyes. So the idea is that you take a group photo. It supports, I think the API supports up to 64 faces it can detect, but if you've got a photo with more faces than that, it will just pick the 64 most face-like bits of the photo.
Right.
So I've got a photo, which I'm going to upload. You just browse it. We'll look at the photo in a second. There's people at a Justin Bieber concert.
Right.
I did that just for you.
Good.
And what it's going to do is it's going to look at the faces in the photo, figure out which are faces and which aren't, and it's going to rank them by default how happy people are. So what's happening now is it's going off to the Cognitive Service Emotion API.
Yep.
It's assessing the photo. It's going to return back a load of JSON. And this is the result that I've got here. Ooh. So it's quite an interesting photo, this one. It's a combination of fans and security guards and dads.
Right.
This is what people look like at a Justin Bieber concert. So the happiest person in this picture is this young lady here. And she's exhibiting 96% happiness, basically. So
right.
She's really happy.
With a small portion of surprise.
Yeah, she's slightly surprised. The least happiest person is this security guard guy.
He's working.
He's working. He's not happy at all, really. He's quite neutral. He's kind of basically...
Bit sad, bored, bit bored. Surprised. Yeah. Bit surprised to be at a Justin Bieber concert.
But, I mean, the thing is... yeah, well, you know, it's a range of emotions. The thing that's interesting here is that we can look at all the different emotions. So defaults to happy, but the API actually supports lots of different emotions. So if we look at kind of angry, we can see, and it all turns red because red's angry.
Right.
The angriest person in this photo is the dad. If we just let's just zoom in a little bit there. That's the expression of a very angry dad.
What is he doing?
Well, he's just not happy to be there. We know that because he's exhibiting a lot of anger. It's quite neutral, but there's contempt. There's all sorts of emotions going on in this guy's face. And we can look at all the other ones. So we can look at, like, who's the most disgusted person in this photo? Well, it's the dad again. He's the most disgusted. The least disgusted is this young lady. Who's the most surprised person in this photo? It's this young lady down here in the corner. So she's very surprised. I don't know what's happening on stage at this point, but there's clearly a lot of surprise going on here. And you can click and see. So it's kind of a silly little website, but it's kind of a fun way to look at these APIs, figure out how they work. But we're not here to really, on this session, to talk about the API itself. We've covered that before in our other machine learning talks.
Yep.
It's more about how to build just a general ASP.NET Core website using these APIs and using just some of the stuff that you would generally do with this kind of website.
So so far in the Webhack Wednesday shows, we've looked at the startup in an ASP.NET Core thing, but this is really like end to end how we built or how you built this site.
Yeah.
I haven't contributed anything to this yet.
No, it was your idea. I pinched it.
Did you understand?
Yeah, you came up with the idea because you were doing a demo, you took a photo of an audience and you used the Project Oxford website.
And I thought, Fusion in Birmingham.
Yeah.
I do recall.
I'm going to build on that idea, I think to myself.
I've actually written another version of this as well.
Yeah.
In Cordova.
Yes. Yeah.
So we do have a Cordova version of this, which is obviously be able to run on iOS as an app, iOS and Android and Windows as an app. And we'll look at that in another session.
Time,
But this is ASP.NET Core and how you built this in ASP.NET Core.
So I will, there's a disclaimer coming here.
Uh-oh, what's this disclaimer?
It's probably the worst architected ASP.NET Core website out there. Like, yeah. This is not the way, this isn't how to build. This is just how I've built.
Right, okay.
There's a difference between those two things.
Yeah, no worries.
So there's things in here that you might think, oh, that's a bit weird. But we'll talk through it and we'll see how far we can get with it.
It is called Webhack Wednesdays. It is just about...
Yeah, and then hack is really the key thing with this because it is quite hacky. But let's get into it. Let's have a look. So I've got the project open here. So we'll start off by just looking at the... that front page, the index page, which is the big yellow page where you upload the file and click upload. So this is just kind of a fairly regular ASP.NET view. There's just a few things to call out here. Firstly, we're using this new form tag helper.
Yeah.
So in kind of previous versions of .NET, you'd have had this kind of weird syntax, a HTML helper syntax, begin form or begin AJAX form, and it looks quite complicated. Now we've got tag helpers in ASP.NET Core, and it just lets us have this very natural kind of syntax. This looks like a HTML form.
Yep.
There is some extra bits in here, and I can see ASP action result, and that's the action that I'm going to submit the form to effectively.
So tag helpers, is that right? That's the right word. Tag helpers are, you can either add properties or attributes to existing tags, like we're decorating the form, which is an existing HTML tag with a thing, or you could actually create your own tags. And basically, we have a way of then creating a bat in C#. When the Razor view is rendered, or as it's going through the Razor view, it sees these different attributes, and then it uses the tag helper, goes to the C#, and then there's some magic which will happen, some actual work. Obviously, MVC comes with a bunch of these tag helpers built in, but you can write your own as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think of them a little bit like user controls from old ASP. Like it's that kind of idea of having a bit of UI that has its own bit of back-end code.
Yeah.
It can be just presented in a very simple way in your HTML.
So it also looks a little bit like Angular and the way that you decorate tags in Angular, or web components and the way you do that sort of stuff as well. So there's lots of commonality about, but the idea is you're basically customizing these elements to do stuff and being able to repeat code.
It's great when you're actually doing your markup because it looks very natural. It doesn't look weird.
Well, this is the thing which is...
You'll see some weird markup later.
Well, this is the thing which is quite useful about the sort of the tag helpers in the new Razor, is that you could pass this to anyone which understood HTML.
Yeah.
And whilst they wouldn't understand necessarily those attributes and what they were doing, they do know what a form element is, and they can style that with CSS in the same way. Whereas a HTML helper,
it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, and it might throw a few people off.
So I think it's a good thing. So that's the first thing that we're using here. The thing that uploads the file is just a standard input tag. The thing I'm using Bootstrap here for the styling. And we do have some JavaScript here that basically, so when you select something in the input, it shows the label. So it gives us that effect of, if we just go back to the home page. So this isn't a standard input UI.
Yep.
I've tried to make it look a little bit nicer. And so that bit of JavaScript just populates that label there. So that's kind of interesting. So it's all on GitHub as well. You can look at all of this. And when you click upload, it just submits the form into our controller. So the controller is just a regular controller. We have a result, if I can find it, a result action. So there's a few more interesting things in here as well. So first thing is, in previous versions of ASP.NET, I actually forget what it's called, but the way you submit a file has changed now.
Right.
You have this iform file class. So this is a really nice way to deal with files that have been submitted in through forms.
Right.
I can't think what they used to be called in the previous version, but they were different and they worked in a different way. So if you're doing things with forms and files, this is an interesting area.
So just before we get to that, so that's your controller.
Yeah.
Because how you wired up that action.
Yeah.
That was done in Razor.
Yeah.
Where we declared the action.
Yeah.
What about the routing? Where have we actually declared the routing in this application?
So the routing, again, that's different in ASP.NET Core, is in your startup.cs. So I have done some stuff with routing. So
we just got the basic default, route, and we've got another route called results.
Because I'm also passing in the emotion, the selected emotion, which defaults to happy with it. Then that's so when I've got the drop down, I can change the emotions. So it's all coming into that same action.
Okay, but that's an important part, the route. In MVC, at least, is defined inside of startup to CS and not inside of the roots file that it used
exactly,
to be.
Yeah, the code of it is kind of the same, and it's in startup CS. You'll have this function called configure, which is where you do that stuff. So once you're into that, it looks the same as it used to look in the old way of doing it. It's just in a different place now.
Right.
So yeah, so that's how it gets into. That's how by submitting simply to the action, to the result action, we end up in this place. So we've got this iForm file. The next thing I'm doing is, rightly or wrongly, I'm using session state here. So
yeah, wrongly.
It is. I know it's wrongly. Yeah, I know. But it's fine.
It's okay. It's you can use it. The fact is that it's still available to be used,
available,
right?
Yeah. But there are some little differences. So the way you access it is different. You have to have a NuGet package. So as with all NuGet packages, so as with a lot of things in .NET Core, stuff that was previously built into framework isn't in the framework by default. So what I've had to do to make this work is I've had to install the Microsoft.ASP.NET.Session NuGet package.
Yeah.
Just where I did it in my project.json there. As soon as you edit that, it goes and downloads it, and that's how it's.
And then you add that as a using into the top
exactly,
of that file.
Yeah. So once you've got the NuGet package installed, you can add it up here. So it'll be in here somewhere. Can't see it right now. But it'll be in there somewhere. it isn't in there somewhere, actually.
Maybe you've fully qualified it.
Yeah. That's exactly what I've done.
So.
And the way you work with this is to go HTTP context.session.set, and it will only accept byte arrays. So unlike previous versions, you could pass anything. Now it's just a byte array. So I've got a little helper function to convert strings to byte arrays and vice versa. And what I'm basically passing in here, I'm getting the getEmotion data is the thing that does the API call out to the cognitive services. So if we just have a quick look at that. This is just a very simple HTTP client request.
Yep.
What it does here is it uploads the stream of the file. So again, I'm passing that iForm file object, and it's basically opening up a stream, and it's passing that stream into the request. It's a post request, and then that's returning a JSON document back.
So the other thing you're doing there is you're adding a headers. You're adding some kind of
So I'm adding this
the API
subscription key.
And
I'm also adding when I'm adding my file, I'm adding it as an octet stream, which I'd never heard of until I did this.
Yeah, well, so I've done this same project, but in JavaScript, and that was the hardest part, is getting it into an octet stream from whatever it was which I uploaded. I think it was in the Cordova project that I did. I wrote this same HTTP request, but in JavaScript, and I had to do this really strange thing because I had a base64 URL and I had to convert that into an octet stream.
Yeah.
And the way that I'm doing it at the moment, I know isn't the best way, but it works.
So I've done that as well for something, and I wrote a blog about it, but that doesn't mean it's the right way to do it.
Yeah, I think I need to look into that a little bit more. But it's a lot easier to do that in .NET than it is in JavaScript.
The Cognitive Services API accepts either a stream or a URL to a file as well, but for this kind of an application, we just need to upload the file directly. So that returns a load of JSON, and what with the response from the Cognitive Services API. And what I basically do then is I get some image. This was actually a pull request from somebody. So this is on GitHub, and they sort of figured this bit out for me. Now this particular part uses system.drawing.image, which is old.NET. And there isn't a good library at the moment in .NET Core for doing image manipulation.
So this currently you're restricted to running this just on Windows at the moment.
Yes, I am. Scott Hansman's got a post about this saying, basically acknowledging that right now we don't have a good way to do this, and it's open for contributions for the community to kind of help us out with that. But right now, as we stand today, you have to, if you want to do image manipulation, you want to use the system.drawing.image, you have to use that particular library, which means you have to.
What are you actually trying to get? Just the dimensions of the image?
Just dimensions, yeah.
Possibly, might be easier to take that dependency out and do that when we're uploading the file.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
In
so
JavaScript.
I do have kind of plans to rewrite a lot of this so that there's more of that stuff in JavaScript, because I know there's a lot of this stuff that we do.
One of the problems with the API, as well, I remember, is you can't have, the files can't be over a certain size.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the challenges I've got, when I take pictures on my phone, they are too high. Yeah, they're really high quality images.
Yeah.
And if you just forget and upload one of those raw, you get like timeouts and stuff.
Yeah.
So actually, on the client, saving that image when it's uploaded or when it's captured, saving that image, put it onto a, say, a canvas, yeah, resizing with canvas, outputting the data URL and submitting that to your app, yeah, might be a better way.
Yeah.
Smaller bandwidth, like you're only uploading what you need to use.
So you see, I've got my to-do system in action here. Would this be better done in JavaScript?
Oh, wow.
With a link to Stack Overflow discussion all about that. So definitely,
yeah,
this
that probably would be better in JavaScript, that bit.
Anyway, it is what it is. So what we're doing is we're basically storing the image dimensions. I'm storing the image as a base64 string in session state. And I'm using this HTTP context.session.set.
Why do you store it in session?
It's so that when you change the emotion, I don't need to go and get all of that stuff. I can just grab it out of session state.
Right, okay.
So it basically says, if you don't pass in a file, it will just grab it all out of session state, which means so I'm not having to...
It's just a convenience.
Yeah. Right. It's just me being really lazy in the way that I'm coding, which is how I tend to code. So we then go on, we do some stuff around getting the faces. So we get what the API gives us and we add some stuff to that about a display score and some of the properties. So I have my own structure of face objects. So one of the interesting things there is...
So you're casting it to a model, a faces object.
Exactly, yeah. So when you, I've got a face object there, which contains a rectangle and scores. The rectangle, that's pretty much as it comes out of the Cognitive Services API. But scores, I've got basically the main scores, then I've got a display score as well, because what I don't want is these really long decimal numbers. And it's just easier to do it here than in JavaScript. Again, that is something that probably I could do it in JavaScript. But anyway, it's an ASP.NET thing, so
that's fair enough.
We're doing it here now. And then all I do then is just kind of add some extra information. So I set the theme color, I get I use a font or some icon to display the emotion of what's selected, and I order the list by the emotion that's selected as well. So by happiness or by anger or contempt or whatever it is I've selected.
Oh, so when we're doing a try again, we're doing a round trip back to the server to then go and get some new information, and that's why you're using session state.
So try again is basically go back to home page and start again. When I use that drop down, so when I'm doing so if we just upload this again, when I change the emotion,
it's doing a round trip back to the server,
But it's getting it from session state rather than going back to the main API, which is why it's a bit quicker. And then we just create a standard view model. And then we pass that to our view. So the view is a little bit of complex. Again, I have the form in the view as well so that I can change the emotion. So I'm using that form tag again. There's a really interesting one here around this select. So this is, again, another tag helper. And so what I have is a select list. One of the things in the view model is a select list. So if I go to, I think it's this one, emotions, is a select list. In fact, if I just look in the view model here, you'll see it's a select list of emotions, so that's sadness, happiness, etc., etc. What I'm able to do here is just bind ASP items to model.emotions.
Okay.
So it's a really, really simple way of doing a drop-down list. This used to be, again, more complex and more sort of ASP.NET specific before.
Well, you'd have to do like a for loop over.
Yeah, exactly. Or you'd have to use one of the old help of functions again. But this feels more like the way Angular does it, and more HTML like.
I worry a little bit about having not used this in conjunction with Angular. The one challenge is we do have this with the attributes. We do seem to have this convention of ASP dash, which makes it obvious that it's ASP, which it belongs to. But it could potentially get quite confusing between directives versus tag helpers.
I mean, I think in this example, I've kind of tried to do it all in ASP.NET, even areas which probably make sense to do in other technologies. Use of Angular here would make a lot of sense, but we just haven't done it here.
Sure.
So we've got a load of Razor kind of stuff that happens whereby, because obviously what we need to do is we need to plot the, one of the things the Cognitive Services API gives you is the top and left dimensions of those rectangles where you can highlight the faces.
Yep.
And we need to plot those on the image, but we need to also resize the image so it fits in the screen. So there's a load of stuff that happens to make that all happen. And we're just using Razor to set styles and things like that on the fly.
Oh, right, you're doing like CSS manipulation in Razor.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really cutting-edge stuff, yeah.
Do you know what I think? That there's definitely a thing that
a
you
better
can
way to do
no
that,
no there's definitely a better way to do that. But yeah. I mean, the one of the things that I noticed on the view is that sometimes there's a little slight difference between, you know, the color of the rectangle and the actual image. Right. It's sometimes difficult to see the image.
Yeah.
CSS drop shadows.
Yes.
Or it's drops, I think, like
it's
something like that.
Source. It's open source. Right. You dive in, do it.
I've got the code right. The code's right there.
Yeah.
I could just add it.
Sorry. And then we've just got a little bit of JavaScript to do. Like we're using the Bootstrap tooltip and Bootstrap popover to give us that kind of effect of when you click on somebody, it pops up.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. So I mean, it's not like I said at the start. It's not necessarily the example of the best way to write an ASP.NET web application, but it is a way to do it, and it just shows some of the new technologies. And if you think it can be improved, it's open source, so please do dive in and improve it. But
yeah, no, that's a really good point, actually, is that we've just, well, Martin's just put this together in a couple of over a couple of days, I think. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure it was last month I had I did that at a talk where you stole the idea. Now I've discovered. but yeah, it's on GitHub. It'd be a great thing if people which are watching the show wanted to contribute to it, maybe improve it, and maybe we could make it into a slightly more best practice kind of piece of work. Yeah. But it's for the moment, it's just a good way of kicking the tires of ASP.NET Core and also the machine learning APIs, the cognitive services from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. So thank you very much for joining us for this week's Web Hack Wednesday. We'll see you next week for another web topic.